Thomas Kananda, pro basketball player, IT specialist, personal trainer, and mental health advocate. On this episode, we talk about mental health and how we cope with it, men and their mental health, the stigma around that, and more. Trigger warning, this discussion does involve sensitive subject matter, so if you would like to stop listening, you can do so now. Please note that we are not mental health experts or professionals and will merely be sharing our own personal mental health journeys and what has worked for us. Welcome to Conversations with Lila B. Thomas. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. So I just wanted to thank you for joining me today to talk about something that I know we're both passionate about, which is mental health. And today I kind of just want to talk to you about men and mental health, because November is actually Men's Health Month, aside from it being Movember, which I think most people know about. But yeah, a big aspect of our health is our mental health. So I feel it's a subject that we don't talk about enough. But before we dive into all of that, I think we should let the listeners get to know a little bit about you. So, like, how would your family and friends describe you?
Thanks for having me. My friends and family would just describe me as a very lively, active person. I'm just loud. I like to talk. I like to have fun. Very active. So basically, if someone was to tell you, describe Thomas in one word, they would just say lively or active. So many words out there.
Okay. So your job as an IT specialist aside, you are a pro basketball player. So I think that's very interesting to me, because I think it takes a lot of determination and a lot of discipline to like be an athlete. So what does it take to achieve something like that? Like, how did you get into basketball?
I got into basketball, I started as usual, the normal way African guys grow up. You play football first. Then someone with studs stepped on me, which is a funny story, and I just stopped. So this tall guy who used to live in our flats back in the day threw a board, man. I was like, what the heck is this orange thing? Then I just started following them around, watching them play on the court. I was like, wow, this is cool, and they wear some pretty cool shoes. Then I just started playing. Professionally, I would say I started right after high school. High school, I was on the team. I never got playing time in high school. I got more playing time after high school when I played for Hawks under Coach Dixon. And from there, I just started playing and just got addicted to it.
Okay. So you were playing out of high school, and at that point, were you thinking that that's something that you want to do professionally? Or what were you thinking of? Because, I mean, obviously, your parents are probably expecting, you know, what are you going to do in uni? What are you going to study?
Definitely. I was thinking I could go play in the U.S. I wanted to go play for colleges. Especially, I wanted to play for UCLA and MIT. But of course, my parents wanted me to get education first. So normally I focused on school. After school, I think after my father died, I still played ball more, but school was always like the go ahead. I played college ball in Zambia when I was at Zibik, which was one of the good times. But the time I enjoyed playing basketball the most was in Australia, where I actually got noticed. That's why I can say it was my peak of my career. Yeah.
Okay. So athletes often have mental health challenges just because of the immense pressure that they're under. I think a lot of athletes have been coming out recently, especially black athletes, talking about their experiences that they've had. Would you say that you've experienced any sort of that sort of pressure that's affected your mental health?
Oh, yes. There's so much pressure to improve your craft. Like, for basketball, like I say, you always have to be better than the next, because there's always someone behind you. So you're always putting so much pressure on you. There's people watching you. There's people who don't like you. They'll boo you. There's the injuries. There's the constant being away from your family. You don't get to see your family. You don't get to hang out with your friends. In my case, when I was in Australia, I was one of the only few Africans who actually played for Kalamunda Suns under coach Ash McCormick. But it was so much pressure on me to be better than I was, like to go to the gym twice as hard. On top of that, I had to go to class, then I had to work. You know, you have to take care of your own shoes. It was so much pressure where it did get to me to a point where I just, sometimes I'll get depressed. Sometimes I wouldn't sleep. Sometimes I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't eat because I didn't want to gain weight. Because if you gain weight and you're like, oh, I'm going to be slow, I'm not going to jump as high, I'm not going to be this fast. So I did have a lot of mental stuff going on when I was playing basketball.
Okay, that's interesting that you pointed out, like, you didn't want to eat because you didn't want to gain weight because you were afraid it would, like, affect your performance. I think people don't think that guys are worried about their weight in that way, or people don't think of guys not eating.
Oh, no. The thing is, for guys, for male side, it's something that is not really looked on, but I've seen it firsthand. I've seen guys not eat. I've seen guys use performance enhancing stuff to get that edge. I've seen guys fast, literally, and go to the gym. Someone is working out on an empty stomach and you're like, whoa, dude, you need to eat. No, I need to be better than this. And it got to a point where it got serious. For me, it wasn't serious, but from the other people I've seen playing basketball, mm-hmm. It got really serious to a point where I would be worried. Others would just to get that edge. You know, you want to be stronger, you want to be faster, you don't want to gain weight. Because for basketball, it's more about the more weight you gain, you're going to be slow, you're not going to jump faster, you're not going to play defense properly. That's the problem with, I guess, with basketball. And I've been sports, more other sports too.
That's interesting, because I mean, when I was younger, I used to swim and I felt obviously also pressure to be the best or pressure to compete. Because I mean, growing up in Zambia, there's not that many, there weren't even that many schools that had like swim teams. So obviously I'm like one of the only black girls on the team. And I think I just had all this pressure and developed an eating disorder because my body was also changing and I looked different from other people. And I just wanted to be like lean, smaller. And I thought like it was going to give me a more competitive edge. And I just remember like that was a very, when I look back now, I kind of feel sad for that girl because I'm like, oh man, you didn't need to like do all those things. Like your body was actually fine the way it was.
Yeah. I can relate to that because if I look back then, I was worried about gaining weight and I'm like, dude, you're skinny. Just enjoy the game. It was tough sometimes because you want to be the best, you know, being the only African in the team. It was tough, you know, all eyes were on you. Other guys were waiting for your spot. So you're like, So it was really, I can relate. It's just sometimes for guys, it's not seen much, but it is real. It is there.
So you mentioned being the only African on the team.
Yes.
Did you experience any racism?
Thank goodness my team, nothing. From the opposing side, the good thing about Australia, I think it was very diverse. There's a lot of white and black people playing basketball. Mm-hmm. But there was once when we were playing basketball with my friends in a local league, we literally experienced the racism when they said, hey, that's the problem with you people. And we actually froze and said, wow, really? You people? So the game was stopped. We complained to the manager of the rec center, like, I think it's not fair because you guys are on the scoreboard. And then we complain about something and your girlfriend just shouts, that's the problem with you people. And we're like, hey, what do you mean, you people? Then she started trying to correct herself. No, I didn't mean that, but we all knew what she meant.
Yeah, everyone always knows what the U people statement means.
So we just decided to walk off, and we never played in that league again. Because the group I was in, we were a bunch of Africans from Malawi, Zimbabwe, Zambia. So when we experienced that, I remember my friend Ben just getting really upset and walking off. Kartu, Yamiko were telling me, you know, just calm down. Like, nah, they just can't say you people like that. This is a bad game supposed to bring us together, but instead you are being mean. I mean, even while playing them, you could get elbowed deliberately. I remember I went for a layup and I landed badly on my back. I didn't play for like 6 months. I had to watch my friends win the championship while I'm
What injured. Does that do? Like, I mean, do you feel depressed? Like, when you suffer an injury, because I know, like, you've had a few injuries, but yeah. What does that do to, like, your mental health, especially because you love basketball?
Like, for me, I find basketball is, like, my other safe place. Mm-hmm. It's a place where if I'm really frustrated, I go take it out. So to see my friends do something and you're sitting down, and sometimes when he moves, you also move. It's one of those things where you're like, wow. It gets depressing when you want to play, but at the end of the day, you have to take care of your body. I mean, I remember once I didn't listen about my knee. I was told to rest it for just 2 months. I didn't listen. I went to play. I tore my ACL. I ended up missing a basketball game for half a year because I didn't listen. And all because I didn't listen. So I was just like, okay, this is not right, but at the end of the day, I did play, I did listen, and I did learn from it. But it is depressing when you're sitting down. Like, even right now, I have a dislocated finger. I can hold stuff, but I know if I go play right now, I'll make it worse. So what I do is I just go watch the guys, encourage them, have fun, and leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And the trick I do now is I deliberately wear shoes. I know I'm not going to play basketball anymore. So when I do that, I'm like, yes, I'm not gonna play. It's gonna be fun now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a stigma about coming forward with mental health issues or seeking help, not just in Zambia, but with Black men globally, with Black people even globally, because I know I have my own personal mental health struggles, and you know, I've had my moments of depression, and I'm thankful that I've been able to like afford things like therapy. Can you speak on that?
For men in general, especially Black men, we are taught at an early age, man's not supposed to cry, mm-hmm. or a man's not supposed to show a sign of weakness. But they forget we're human. So it's okay. Even growing up, I was told, hey, a man's not supposed to cry. Even when they're hitting you, don't cry. If you cry, they'll call you the B word, or they'll call you weak, or they'll refer you to a female, and you're like, but it hurts, yeah. You know? So, like, how I overcame my mental issues was sports, physical activities. If I could afford a counselor, I'll go see a counselor about it. I'll go to church. Church is another thing that helped me think straight, because there were times I just, for lack of a better term, I can't lie, I abused a lot of alcohol, and it was a dark time. But when I went to church just to speak to someone who is not going to judge you, mm-hmm. and they're literally listening, it was good. But when you go to a therapist and you pay, they actually put you in line. I'm not saying church, they don't put you in line. But sometimes when you go to church and you're talking to someone you're familiar with, you feel as a person that, oh, they're just telling me what I want to hear. Yeah. But when you go to a therapist and you know you're paying, they're going to give you, like, exercises on what to do. Like, my therapist, my new therapist, who I really appreciate, always sends me words of affirmations, makes me look in the mirror, and I just write down all the awesome things about me. I'm not saying I'm perfect, I'm not saying anyone is perfect, but to affirm yourself or to get words of affirmation has a big, big ripple effect. Mm. But unfortunately for men, if a man right now comes up and says he's got mental issues, they'll either accuse you of being on drugs, or they'll just say you're seeking attention. That's why you don't see a lot of men coming up, and hence you see a lot of men, unfortunately, taking their lives, which is really sad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think in the most recent years, we've seen quite a few people take their lives, and it's really started, I know, on social media, people are having the conversations about how men need to talk about their mental health, or, you know, mm-hmm. need to deal with certain issues. You also mentioned, I mean, alcohol is one of the things I think a lot of people use to, like, mask what's going on, or depression.
Yeah.
I know I've definitely gone through phases of doing that as well. And I think in this country, we don't even really talk about the fact that there are so many people who are actually struggling with alcohol addiction mm-hmm. and using it as a form of escapism because they don't feel like they can go and talk to someone.
Yeah. You know? It's not only just alcohol, though. There's a lot of things people are abusing now. It's people are abusing sex. They think if they get sex, they'll feel better. They'll feel... For a guy, he'll feel like he's a man. And the other woman, I don't know about women, but for guys, they feel like they're a man, they've achieved something. And there's also people who hold things in. You've seen in the tabloids, women are getting hurt by men. These are men who've got things deep-rooted inside that needs help. But if you're not going to... If they're not going to make that first step of admitting, okay, I have something wrong, I've got this mental issue, it's just going to pile up to a point where the wrong person will just get hit or get hurt. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen before. I've lost a lot of friends due to that because of just them snapping because of what they experienced. They'll come and apologize. No, it's because I experienced this. And I'm like, but I'm not that person. But to them, because maybe I triggered something, they just think, he did this. I should treat him the way he treats me. So,
and that's the word, like, that you triggered something. Because I think the thing is, we all are walking around with different kind of traumas in this world.
Yeah.
And people always think, like, oh, trauma has to be this big, like, serious thing. Or, like, even when you talk about PTSD, people are like, oh, they talk about it in terms of, like, people who've gone to war or experienced extreme things. And it's like, no, you can have PTSD, like, as a regular person who hasn't gone through such an extreme event as war, but through the your own personal traumas that you've had, you know? I think, and we don't know how to deal with some of our traumas, so now never dealing with it means that at any given moment, something could trigger you and set you off.
Yeah.
You know, it could send you into a spiral of depression or into a fit of rage, and I think it's very important if people can have access to or even just want to educate themselves about different ways that they can deal with their trauma, because, you know, you don't really want a society of people who are walking around just like hurting each other because they haven't dealt with their stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so you spoke a little bit about how you've had some low moments. So, and you said, like, you like to exercise or play ball. What else do you do when life gets a little hard?
When life gets a little hard, apart from basketball and going to the gym, I talk to a therapist. Sometimes I read the Bible. Sometimes I just read a good motivation book. Like right now, I'm reading Finding My Voice, and it's encouraging to see someone achieve greatness. I talk to people who motivate me. I go to people who motivate me, and I go to people who just let me be me. Like, if I need to vent, if I'm going to be emotional that day, they'll let me be me, and they'll tell me, hey, look, let it out. You're going to feel better afterwards. I don't go to people who are going to tell me, nah, man's not supposed to cry, or a guy's not supposed to be emotional. I'm proud to say I wear my heart on my sleeve because I'm very expressive. I'm a very emotional, in touch feelings person. And other things I do is I listen to music. I listen to a lot of music. I always have headphones on, and sometimes I just take a long walk, and I just listen to music to calm me down, to help me just relax. And of course I pray. Praying is a big thing for me. Yeah, even if it's a short prayer, I just say thank you, and I'll be all right.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely good to know what works for you. And I think it also, for anyone who's listening, it takes time to figure out what's going to work for you.
Oh, definitely.
Because I know, like, for me, I like to do my, I have what I call my morning ritual. So I do my journaling, where I do my gratitude lists, where I just write, like, the things that I'm grateful for. So it doesn't always have to be, like, the biggest thing. But even being grateful, writing down that I'm grateful for having a roof over my head, mm-hmm. food in my stomach. I'm grateful that I woke up today. I'm grateful to have a chance to be a better me on this day.
Yeah.
Like little things like that. I feel like practicing gratitude, and as you said earlier on, affirmations, mm-hmm. those are just ways of sort of deconstructing a lot of the things that either society or your family raised you to sort of believe in. Like in psychology, like my therapist and I have talked about, like your core beliefs. So like there's this triangle that makes up your core beliefs, and your core beliefs sometimes are associated with these negative automatic thoughts. So your core beliefs might even be, I'm not worthy, mm-hmm. just because you feel like you're never good enough with something. So like dismantling that kind of feeling by doing your affirmations and affirming yourself, it's just getting your mind, it's training your mind and programming your mind to always like think of things from a positive perspective and even look at yourself in a positive way.
Yeah.
So therefore you have a more positive outlook on life itself.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think that's what helps me on a daily basis sort of, it's like my checks and balances. It's kind of how I maintain a little bit of balance and remember, like, even when I'm having a bad day or a bad moment, that it's temporary.
Yeah.
It's not forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can get through it. And some days are going to be bad days. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to bed. Let me try life tomorrow. Yeah. Let me try again tomorrow.
Yeah, let me try adulting tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that happens. I mean, especially now with us going through this pandemic, the whole entire world and different countries being on lockdown, or even here, us who wanted to be like safe and stuff, working from home and sort of self-isolating, not being able to see all of your friends or all of your family. I think it's been hard on people because human beings are used to like connection. I feel like we're built on that whole connection thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that is true.
We need other people. So I think being isolated really took a toll on a lot of people's mental health.
There I can agree, because I was checking out the stats, like worldwide. There's been a lot of suicide people who've been found. Thank God the other people were found and they were taken to hospital with proper care. And they were taken care of. But unfortunately for the others, there's a high number of suicide rates. And surprisingly, it's been males.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they're out of work, because as a man, you know, you want to provide, you want to take care of your family. And then when you feel you can't do that and the world just keeps biting you down, people just feel, you know what, death is easier, let me just do this. But it really isn't, because unfortunately, the person who passes away doesn't see the bad ripple effect it gives to the other people. Because, you know, there'll be people who'll be saying, I wish I knew I would have helped or done something. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. so it's really tough.
It's really a case of, like, I always try to approach the conversation around suicide. Well, I've attempted suicide before, but aside from that, I always try to approach it from a perspective where it's, when someone is in that space, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, why didn't they think of this person? Or how could they do that and leave this person behind? And it's like, when you're in that mindset, though, you're really thinking everyone is going to be better off without you, which is like the saddest thing in the world, mm-hmm. but the truest thing, you know?
Yeah.
No one is thinking like, oh, I just want to like selfishly do this. It's also like trying to just like not feel pain anymore and all these other deeper things that people
It's interesting you say that, because I did try that when I was in Australia. I just thought, like you say, people always say, no, you're being selfish. And I'm like, you don't understand what goes on in your mind when you're in that state. Mm. You're not thinking about anything. All you want to do, all you're thinking is everybody will be better off without you. And thank God my two roommates found me and took me to the hospital. They took me to a place where they made me realize my life wasn't so difficult. But the fact of the matter is, when people, like, I'm an advocate for suicide prevention. Like, I know depression is real, and the people who go to that dark place. And I always tell them, look, before you go to that dark place, just take a moment and breathe and think about something. Don't just think about you thinking everybody's going to be better off without you. Why don't you think about you? Think about the closest people around you. Then that in itself will make you think twice. You're like, wait a minute. For example, if their parents are alive, they'll be like, okay, I've got mom, I've got my dad, I've got my sisters.
Yeah.
Just those little steps. Those are the steps I was taught. Before, when I'm in that dark place, think about your mom. Think about your sisters. Yeah. As soon as I hit those, I'm like, okay, this is serious. But those are some of the steps I was taught anyway. But I know there's places in Zambia where they can help you with those steps.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke a little bit. Towards the end, I will include some of the places. But like, if you are struggling with things like alcohol, you can go to the AA Lusaka Fellowship. They're on Facebook. They have a WhatsApp group. And of course, it's all about, the AA community is all about respecting your privacy. So if you go there, even just for one meeting to see what it's about, check it out. It is about being anonymous, so you will be anonymous.
Yeah.
There's Psych Health Zambia. They're on Facebook and on Twitter. I do believe that they've also got a WhatsApp helpline. I'll try and post links to stuff in the show notes. And of course, we know that there's Chinama Hills Hospital, and people often want to miscategorize it and say it's the place where crazy people live. And I hate that word because it's ableist, but you know. It's actually not. They have a lot of different services, and they can actually help you work through a lot of things, whether it is addiction, whether it is diagnosing you with whatever mental health condition you might be struggling with, or even just providing someone for you to talk to. So yeah, those are just a few of them. We'll mention some more later. Yeah, so okay, you're also a personal trainer.
Yeah.
So I know for me, doing yoga, I think what's helped me with my mental health in the last year and a half is I need to have like some form of a consistent ritual, and missing out on it even for one day can sometimes throw me off to the point where like I'm irritable or I'm just lethargic.
Yeah, so I know, like, the feeling.
Yeah, part of it is like the journaling that I talked about. The other part of it is I got to the point where every single day except for like Saturday and Sunday, I was doing yoga.
Okay.
In the morning, at least for even 15, 20 minutes or even an hour. But, you know, you do whatever you can with whatever time you have.
Yeah.
And I think I've definitely seen that practice, because it's a lot about, moving your whole entire body, but it's also a lot about like stillness. It's a lot about like silence and sort of connecting with yourself. It's had positive benefits to my mental health.
Yeah.
So as a personal trainer, I guess I'd ask, do you think that exercise has positive benefits?
Oh, yes, it does. Like, it really, really does. There were people I've worked out with. They came in the gym, gloomy, sad. I was about to leave, and I was like, hey, dude, let's do some squats and jump rope. Mm-hmm. By the time we finished, he was so happy. He wanted to do some more workouts. And I was like, dude, I'm tired. I was like, oh, no problem. Let's do some push-ups. Let's do some chest workouts. Exercise releases those endorphins that just are stuck, or those endorphins that can't be removed when talking. Exercise, just running it on itself.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people run and just smile on their own. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, that person is having fun. And yeah, people say running is not for everyone, but there's so many exercises you can do. It's not necessarily running or lifting weights. There's yoga. There's dancing. Dancing is an exercise, even though people think it's just dancing. Dancing is an exercise. That's why there's Zumba now. Mm. But exercise in itself, I've seen, I do personal training, and I've seen people enjoy Like, and I'm pushing them, they're laughing. I hate you so much, and they're laughing. And I'm like, well, you are really laughing. You don't really hate me. No, I'm just saying that because my body's in pain. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And we joke. And then by the time they go to the office, they're just smiling, drinking water, eating. And it's funny, like my last client, he was working out. We finished, he was happy, went to the office, he was about to eat Hungry Lion. Then I always tell him, every time you think eating Hungry Lion, just think of me doing this and think of the more exercise we're going to do. He pushed it aside and messaged me, dude, you've made me allergic to Hungry Lion. And I was like, I'm not saying stop, I'm just saying, hey, you want to achieve your goal, don't do it. So it was pretty funny when he told me that.
And I think that's it. Like, life is about balance. No one is saying don't eat Hungry Lion at all.
Yeah.
We are not sponsored by them, or, you know, sponsored by their whatever competition. No.
Yeah, no.
It's just, you know, I think it's about achieving balance. You know, drink enough water, eat your vegetables. You can still eat some pizza once in a while or whatever, but it's not about limiting yourself. I think, you know, you have a good... What's your hashtag?
Oh, it's a lifestyle, not a challenge.
Yes. And I feel like even in the pandemic, aside from like TikTok challenges, but things, people just kept having like these different weight loss challenges and things. And I was like, these things are great, but I'm like, you know, someone does it for 30 days, then they're finished with it and they feel like, okay, that's the end of that. It might not inspire them to continue. And I think if you're not going to make something part of your lifestyle, then it's just gonna be like, it's like a yo-yo effect. Yeah. You know, especially if you're like trying to lose weight, it's like, okay, fine, you can go on a crash diet and do a challenge or whatever, then you drop the weight, then you feel like, okay, now I can go back to being lazy or go back to my old ways. And it's like, no, then your body's also gonna go back to the way it was.
Yeah, because I always laugh at my friends when they say, oh, I'm doing a diet, and I'm like, oh, that's good, but don't forget the first three letters in the word diet is die. You're basically killing your body. Don't overindulge. Eat, if you're going to have the pizza, eat it. Just don't overeat it.
Don't eat the whole pizza.
Share it with someone. Just don't finish the whole thing to a point where you now feel guilty. It's the same as alcohol. I can have one glass, two, three, then I'll start pacing myself. Hey, wait a minute, I'm driving. I shouldn't really go over this limit. Enjoy life, but just don't restrict yourself. Because if you restrict yourself, you're going to bring back all the...
It's negative thoughts again, because you feel it's like you're punishing yourself.
Exactly.
So instead of enjoying your life, instead of enjoying exercising and eating right, it now feels like a punishment.
Exactly.
Because now every time you see a salad leaf, you feel like I'm being punished. So then are you ever going to enjoy salad ever again? No, because your mind is thinking of it in a negative way.
It's like this meme I saw once saying, oh, my doctor said I should eat vegetables. Look at the hippos and the elephants. They eat vegetables and they're huge. And they're enjoying life. So if your health is, your mental and body health is your choice. It's you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You take care of your body, your body, your mind. You'll find you're gonna be healthy. You'll be smiling more. I even read this thing today where it says you use more muscles frowning and you use less muscles smiling. And I was just like, wow. Okay, I guess that's why there's a lot of people who are 28, but they look older, and you're like, damn, that's crazy. But yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think you've already kind of spoken to this, but like, what would you say, like, as a personal trainer to someone who feels like, it's late for them to even start exercising, or they can't do it? Because I know sometimes we see people like, doing these awesome workouts. Mm-hmm. Like, you see people doing CrossFit and you're like, how?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also like, you've never actually tried. So how do you know what your body's capable
of? Exactly.
And I think sometimes we underestimate, like, our bodies are very, like, resilient, adaptable, and strong.
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone who's like, I can never do that?
Well, to that person, you're basically creating that lifestyle in your head, the can't lifestyle. That's why, like, my hashtags, every time I put a workout, I just say, hey, this is a lifestyle, not a challenge. Every day, just encourage yourself to do something new. Okay, let me try running. You tell me I can't do 1K. Let me try 1K. I can confess with you one thing. I never liked doing squats. Till one day someone told me, just try. Now I love doing squats. As in, I could never go all the way down because I was like, oh, my quads hurt. my whole leg is hurting, but I'm like, okay, let me try it some more. Now I do squats to a point where I love doing it. And when I see the results, I'm like, okay, I did that. I put it in my mind saying, I can do this. It was tough, but eventually it pays off to a point where when you see the results, you'll be happy. Same as exercising your mental. If you work on over the time affirming yourself, don't forget your brain is like a muscle. You lift 20 kilos, your muscles will expand. You think positive all the time, your mind will expand to being positive in any situation you're put in. That's what I believe anyway.
All right. And on that note, I think it's also, I'm going to go back to mentioning the mental health care providers in Lusaka, because it's important for people to know there are some free services, and then there obviously are some costly mental health services. I wish that it was something that everyone could access and that it was affordable for all of us. But, you know, that's hopefully in a few years that will be something that happens. Our friends at Lusaka Helps on Facebook have made a contact sheet of the services that could help you. It was done during the COVID-19 pandemic, which is still ongoing, but pandemic or not, they can help you. And some of these places include the Psychology Association of Zambia. There is the Lifeline Childline Zambia. I'll put all this information in the show notes. They have a crisis hotline and a psychosocial support team. There's AJ Family Solutions. We mentioned Chinama earlier. Mm-hmm. There's MNK Psychotherapy and Wellness Center. Psych Health Zambia, Lutanda on the Summit, Lilai Family Clinic also has services, Silver Lining Healthcare, there's UTH Clinic 6, Chilenje First Level Hospital, Kanyama First Level Hospital, there's the Great North Rehab Center, there's the Zambia Counseling Council, and there's lots of individual psychologists and therapists. Feel free to reach out to Lusaka Helps. Feel free to tweet Psych Health Zambia, because, you know, they can always provide you with a list, and don't be afraid to reach out and get the help that you need. And on that note, I want to say, Thomas, thank you so much for being on Conversations with Lilabi. I hope that we've helped some men out there and even some women who are facing challenges, just anybody, all people, non-binary people, we're inclusive on this podcast, trans people, anybody, my LGBTQ fam. I really hope that any men who have listened to this episode, though, and are going through something, will think about seeking help or speaking to someone. And as far as you go, if people want to find you online or engage with you about fitness and training, how can they do that? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Instagram?
Yes, I'm on Twitter. My handle is @TommyBoy1. And I'm on Instagram, where you can see my videos. That's Tommy_Guns101. There's videos of me working out. You can send me a message on either platforms, and I can give you details on what you need. Each workout for each person is specifically designed for that person themselves. So it's not like I do it generic, or you're gonna do what A, B did last time. I design something for you because of what you want to achieve yourself. But at the end of the day, when you work out with me, or if you seek advice on what type of exercises, you're just going to have fun.
Mm-hmm. And I'll put your info in the show notes as well. And that's Tommy_Guns, Guns with a Z.
Yes, Guns with a Z.
Yeah, 101.
Yeah.
On IG. Okay, so to all my listeners, all of this information is definitely going up on the podcast notes, so be sure to read through them. Thank you so much for listening today. Before we go, show some love for your favorite podcast by giving us a star on Anchor FM. You can also leave us a voice message on Anchor FM, and you can comment on our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I don't know what happened there. But guys, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode coming your way soon.